Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Could It Be Podcast. I created this episode in the hopes that it will reach people before they decide to get breast implants so that they're informed and aware, as we know that a lot of surgeons aren't covering this kind of information in their consultations. I'll be covering many factors in this episode, from the logical stuff that we know about implants and their complications, as well as the advice from women around the world. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the women that responded to my shout out for what we wish we knew before getting breast implants and their contribution to this episode. So I'll cover the big one first, which is the theme of this podcast, breast implant illness or BII. It's still a taboo topic and not a diagnosable medical condition at this stage. I'm aware of a study here in Australia that I've mentioned many times in this podcast and understand that there are studies overseas as well. So if you're listening to this and you're explanting soon, I encourage you to look into whether there are BII studies happening in your country so that you can help us to contribute to this becoming a recognised medical diagnosis. There's still so much to learn about BII, but what we do know so far is this intense list of symptoms that women are reporting. These can include, but obviously this isn't an exhaustive list of the symptoms: joint and muscle pain, poor recovery from exercise, fatigue, hair loss, headaches and migraines, dry skin and skin conditions like dermatitis and psoriasis, anxiety and depression, heart palpitations, shortness of breath, sleep disturbances, high cholesterol, brain fog and concentration issues, memory loss, vertigo, eye twitching, dry or dull eyes, and along with issues with eyes, poor vision is also a symptom that some people report, muscle twitching, dry mouth, sinus congestion, ringing in the ears or tinnitus, breast pain, swollen lymph nodes, bad body odor, gastrointestinal issues such as IBS and SIBO, sudden food intolerances, impacts on the menstrual cycle, loss of libido, weight gain and or weight loss, general inflammation in the body, hormonal imbalances, throat clearing and difficulty swallowing, sensitivity to hot and cold temperatures. Some people also report that they feel worse when they've been in a hot climate. So that can include just like heat in general, but also if you're going into a sauna. Slow recovery from illnesses such as colds and the flu, fungal and yeast infections, and numbness and tingling of the hands and feet. Now, all of the women that I've spoken to report that their symptoms either improve or clear up after having their breast implants removed. This can take a different amount of time based on the person. Some people wake up and feel amazing straight away. For some other people like me, it can take a little longer. I'm a year and a half out and still nearly 100%, but not how I was before I had implants. You know, I was 19, I'm 37 now, so that could be the difference there. But yeah, for some of us, we don't completely recover from it. Some women also report being diagnosed with autoimmune conditions. So that can include things like thyroid issues and Hashimoto's, chronic fatigue syndrome, adrenal fatigue, Raynaud's syndrome, rheumatoid arthritis, Lyme disease, lupus, and Sjögren's syndrome. I hope I've pronounced all of those right. Some other things that we wish we knew. In the United States, there is an FDA, which is the US Food and Drug Administration, black box warning on breast implants. A black box warning is the highest level of caution and alerts the public and healthcare providers to serious side effects of a product. This warning means that manufacturers and surgeons are required to use a checklist to ensure that patients are making informed decisions about using these particular devices. As well as this, there are many other risks associated with breast implants too. So these are just in general. So there's some known cancers. At the moment, there's several that we know about that are caused by breast implants, and multiple brands have been recalled due to the cancer risks. Mine in particular were one of those brands. So these cancers can include BIA-ALCL, which is the breast implant associated anaplastic large cell lymphoma. It's a rare cancer of the immune system caused by certain types of breast implants. It's important to note it's not a form of breast cancer. BIA-ALCL is a cancer that grows in the fluid and scar tissue that forms around the breast implant. The Therapeutic Goods Administration, so the TGA here in Australia, reports that there have been some cases of BIA-ALCL in Australia that occur anywhere from right after having breast implants, anywhere up to 37 years later. The average time to diagnosis is within 8 years of having breast implants. Here in Australia, the only reported cases of the cancer came from women who had textured breast implants. Women have unfortunately died from this cancer, but in most cases it is easily treated. I'll include some information in the show notes where you can learn more about these cancers. There's another one, which is BIASCC, which is breast implant associated squamous cell carcinoma. Again, I hope I'm saying these right. This form of cancer occurs in the scar tissue or the capsule that forms around the breast implants. From what I could find online, it is extremely rare. However, there are cases reported here in Australia and overseas. So as we know, all surgeries in general, but all plastic and cosmetic surgeries do carry some risks. Apart from breast implant illness and the cancers that we've just gone through, there are some other complications that can arise from having the surgery. So the first one's a breast seroma, which is an accumulation of seroma fluid around the breast implant. It is a collection of clear or slightly yellowish fluid that can accumulate within the body's tissues. Symptoms of seroma can include swelling, pain, tenderness, and a feeling of heaviness or pressure in the breast area. Another one is breast implant infection, and it refers to the presence of an infection in the tissue surrounding the breast implant and can occur as a complication immediately following breast implant surgery. Symptoms can include increased pain, swelling, redness, fever and chills, abnormal discharge or drainage, changes in the appearance of the breast, skin changes, and general malaise. While it is normal for scar tissue or what we call the capsule to form around breast implants, it's the body's response to a foreign object. A complication that can occur with the capsule is called capsular contracture. I actually experienced this. Capsular contracture is the abnormal tightening of the capsule where it becomes thickened, tight, and can compress the implant. I had severe capsular contracture on the left breast. I actually had thought at one point that my teardrop-shaped implant had flipped upside down because the capsule had tightened so much that it changed the shape of my implant. In saying that, symptoms of capsular contracture can include breast firmness. So implants are actually supposed to stay soft and natural feeling, but if they become hard, it could be capsular contracture. Distortion of the breast shape, as I had, breast pain or discomfort, changes in the sensation of the breast, and visible rippling or wrinkling. Another complication is breast implant malposition, and that refers to the change in appearance or position of breast implants. Symptoms can include the breast falling below its inserted position, the implants moving closer together, further apart from each other, or becoming asymmetrical. Breast implant ruptures or leaks can occur when there's a tear or a hole in the outer shell of the breast implant, so this is another complication. This can cause the contents of the implant, normally either silicone or saline, to leak within the body. Having a rupture doesn't always cause symptoms, but pain, discomfort, or breast shape changes can be some of the symptoms. Diagnosing a rupture is generally completed via medical imaging, such as an MRI. Breast implants aren't lifetime devices, so contrary to what women are told by some of their surgeons, breast implants are not lifetime devices. They actually need to be replaced or removed every 10 to 15 years. In my opinion, a good surgeon should be regularly reviewing breast implants every 1 to 2 years, but that is rarely the case. So if you do get breast implants, you are signing up for having a major surgery every 10 to 15 years, as well as the cost of replacing the implants. So I'm just going to go through some quick data from the Australian Breast Device Registry, which is something I have recommended in previous episodes, that if you are explanting in Australia, that your surgeon does log your explant with the ABDR so that they can keep logging this data and follow on to see, you know, how many people are having breast implants removed versus inserted, what kind of complications occurred with them, that kind of thing. So the data that I've grabbed really quickly, it's a couple of years old, it's from 2018. Actually, wow, that's 5 years old now. But that's okay, we'll include it anyway. They're collecting the information for people who've had breast implants and explant surgeries. For the 5,886 people who had a revision, which is a second surgery for the breast implant in 2018, complications recorded from least to most common were capsular contracture. So 41 of every 100 people were found to have had capsular contracture. The implant malposition, so nearly 28 of every 100 people were found to have an implant that had moved position. Ugh. The thought just makes me feel icky. Rupture. So 1 in 5 people were found to have an implant rupture. That's huge. Seroma or hematoma. So 3 of every 100 people were found to have had a fluid collection or bleeding and bruising around their implant. Deep wound infection. So 1 of every 100 people were found to have a severe wound infection. And BIA-ALCL, which is that breast implant associated anaplastic large cell lymphoma, 4 of every 1,000 people were found to have BIA-ALCL. This should not be happening. That should not even be a number. Back to more complications from breast implants. So you can experience changes to nipple sensation. Many women will report that they lose some or all feeling in their nipple area after having breast implants placed. Another big one is the heavy metals that are in breast implants. So this may come as a bit of a surprise to you if you're new to breast implants, but they do contain multiple heavy metals. This is the case whether they are saline or silicone breast implants, because in either case, the outer shell of the implant is silicone. Now I'm going to read out a list of some of the heavy metals. This is not an exhaustive list, but if you Google heavy metals and breast implants, you'll see the whole list online. But they can include arsenic, chromium, copper, lead, mercury, nickel, platinum, selenium, silver, tin, titanium, and zinc. Now, heavy metal poisoning is a thing, and like I'm learning a lot more through seeing my naturopath and talking to women in the Facebook groups and through the podcast about the impacts that the heavy metals can have on the body. Specifically, in my case, it was on my gut health. So there was a lot of work that I needed to do to strip out those heavy metals before I could start the proper work with my naturopath, because they were wreaking havoc on my system. So that's something that you need to know before you have them. You're putting something in your body that includes heavy metals. One thing that I have learned through the BII community was, and I never knew about this before it, but silicone breast implants were actually banned in the US for 14 years up until 2006. So in 1994, a study was completed by a surgeon and a rheumatologist on 749 women, which isn't a very big sample size, who received breast implants between 1964 and 1991, comparing them with women who had not received breast implants. 5 women with implants had connective tissue disorders, but along with this, 10 women in the non-implant group also suffered from the same disorders. So because of this, the doctors concluded that there was no association between breast implants and the connective tissue disorders. This one was quite an influential study as well, and it wasn't completed, like I said, on a large enough number of patients. The silicone ban ended in 2006 with a caveat. So major manufacturers, Mentor and Allergan, were allowed to produce silicone breast implants again, as long as they would eventually complete large-scale long-term safety studies on their products. Today, silicone implants are available to anyone over 22 years of age in the US, while saline implants are available 18 onwards. More than 15 years later, since that ban has been lifted, many manufacturer-led studies have not been completed. Now, because of this silicone implant ban, there was a company who were like, I guess, one of the first ones to create breast implants that actually, I think, ended up having to cease trading because they ran out of business because their implants weren't being purchased. And I believe there were some lawsuits against them where women were reporting autoimmune and connective tissue disorders. So yeah, definitely look into that, because it's some really interesting information about the ban. But yeah, the ban was lifted in 2006 because they sort of thought, oh, there's not enough proof that implants cause these issues, so we're just going to start using them again. In that time, there were still some people who did have silicone breast implants inserted. They were generally special cases. Anyone else having breast implants put in had saline implants put in, but it, like I said before, saline implants still have a silicone shell. So the issues that we are experiencing are potentially because of the heavy metals that are there regardless of the type of the inside of the implant. So, you know, it just really frustrates me that this kind of stuff can go on. So in addition to all of the information I've just gone through, that, like, you know, this is a logical, scientific information, this is my experience with breast implants. they're really uncomfortable to lay on. So if you've listened to my very early episodes, I talk about the surgeries, like all of the surgeries that I've had. Taking my implants out was about surgery number 13 for me. But before my very first surgery, which is where I had a 7.6 kilogram or 17 pound, I believe, ovarian cyst removed, I used to be a tummy sleeper. Now, as that cyst was growing, it was really uncomfortable to lay on my tummy and like, I didn't know what was wrong. Had that removed. 6 weeks recovery from that surgery, so potentially did sleep my tummy for a little while after that. I don't actually remember, it was so long ago. But then after having breast implants, I couldn't sleep on my tummy again. They lift you up a little bit and I felt a lot of compression in my lower back, and it's also just not comfortable laying on them. I don't understand how people can get implants in their buttocks and be able to sit on it, because that feeling is just so uncomfortable. Other things that kind of are like, you know, a similar feeling, like having a massage where you're laying on a fairly firm massage table and doing yoga where you're laying on the floor and you're laying on your implants is super uncomfortable. It was for me anyway. Yeah, I just, they were not a comfortable thing to have for such a long time. Another thing I noticed, they are heavy. So I would sleep with a crop top on every night because it was just more comfortable for me. And working out with them did prove quite difficult. So going back to the laying on your chest thing, if you're doing certain exercises where you're leaning on a bench and you know, doing exercises that focus on your back muscles, I could never do those because laying on it hurt, plus having the additional weights in my hands and bringing that up would end up hurting. So it gets in the way of working out that way. But also when you're doing anything with jumping or running, they just, you feel it. Like there's this, I don't know how much they weigh. Like, you know, they probably weighed together about 700 grams. And like they'd be moving around when you're doing lots of movement. So when I did CrossFit, I would have to check out the workout to plan what bra I was going to wear the next day. So if there was any skipping, jumping type stuff, I would have to sometimes wear two sports bras just to keep them in place because it was so uncomfortable to work out with them. Now, this final part of the episode is where I did the call out via social media to get a bit of a perspective on women around the world on what they wish they knew before getting breast implants. Some of it is what I have mentioned, but I will read it out regardless because everybody's opinion is so important when it comes to this. Now, first up, we have Robin in Australia, and Robin says, I wish I was told about all of the risks and complications of implants. All of them. I wish I was given the data for my specific implants. I wish I could have read the warnings on the box my implants came in. And I wish I was given a list of ingredients in implants. Surgeons don't tell you that if you get breast implants, it's essentially 100% that you'll need another operation, either for a complication or because your implants need to be replaced because they're not lifetime devices. I had explanted to flap because I had a risk reducing mastectomy, and one of the things that is great about not having implants in anymore is that I can now feel my chest when I hug. I can really feel it. Next we have Erin, who's also from Australia. Erin says, the sales pitch the surgeon gives is ridiculous. More information about the lack of testing for approval of these poisonous things. Real rates of rupture. I was told if I got hit by a truck, my implants would be the only thing to survive. And then a mind blown emoji. The real rates of implants being recalled. The very real BII symptoms associated with having implants. Since having them out, I had them out under the muscle. Amazing range of movement, both in day to day and when exercising. Yes. My posture has improved, food sensitivities have disappeared overnight, and inflammation in the body has improved immediately. That's amazing, Erin. So Tash from Northern New South Wales says she wishes she knew that there was a chance that you could get so sick and inflamed and your body would be working overtime to protect you from the toxic implants. Having soft, natural boobies again and not having chronic itchy eyes is such a good thing. Next, we have Ninka, who is from Brisbane in Australia, and she reached out via the Team Explant Australia Facebook page. She was explanting in August, so I put this call out a little while ago. And what she said is, I can't wait to lie on my stomach again, have heart-to-heart cuddles with my loved ones, to not be in pain, to not be so uncomfortable, to not be sick, and just feel like I'm back at home in my own body. I wish I knew that I could develop cancer from implants. I wish I knew I could become so unwell physically, emotionally, and mentally from implants. I wish I knew they would suck the life right out of me. And I wish I knew I was perfect just as I was. Oh, Ninka, that's beautiful. We have an anonymous contribution, and that was also from one of the Facebook groups. So she has said, I wish I knew implants could cause autoimmune diseases. I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's after explanting. I wish I knew that there was no stringent testing of implants. I was a victim of PIP implant fraud. Oof, that was hardcore. I wish I knew that they weren't lifetime devices and additional expensive surgery was required every 10 years. I wish I knew they could cause inflammation, fatigue, pain, weight gain, and misery. I wish I knew textured implants could cause BIA-ALCL and other associated cancers. I wish I knew just how much my life would be destroyed by that single decision to try and better my body, and better in quotation marks, which had been ravaged by childbirth and breastfeeding. I wish I knew that I wouldn't be able to breastfeed my post-implant babies. I wish I never got them in the first place. Next, we have Julie from Canada. That was Julie who has shared her story on the podcast as well. Julie says, I wish I knew the side effects and the possible impacts on my health. I had 30 years with one implant and it pushed me to my limit. I suffered from invalidity and I was bedridden. When my implant was out, I could walk normally. I had no more pain and I could go back to work. Nikki from the USA says, I wish I knew that I would have felt this good just a couple of days after explanting. They're out after 19 years. Nikki then went on to mention that 40 symptoms were completely gone within the 36 hours of explanting, and she was told that her implants were safe for a lifetime. We have Amelia Dobson from New South Wales in Australia up next. So Amelia says, I wish I had all of the information about breast implants before getting them. Amelia and I then went on to have a bit of a chat and we discussed whether we would have changed our minds about getting breast implants. We both agreed that we would have most likely still had them in, however, would have known what to look out for in the way of symptoms instead of spending years wondering why we were so sick with no cause that we knew of. Having this knowledge would have saved us from so much wasted time being unwell. Mel from New Zealand reached out to me via email and Mel said, I wish I actually truly acknowledged the loss of sensation to my breasts and the consequences of causing trauma to my body increases the risk of other ailments. But BII was a thing and the toxins involved spread to your whole body with increased inflammation. Having bigger boobs makes finding bras harder as they usually aren't available. They actually hurt in bras now size 12D. All clothing is actually harder, especially dresses. And finally, Stephanie from Long Island in New York, who joined me on episode 29, says, I wish I knew about all of the complications and how unsafe they were. So if you've heard Stephanie's episode, she actually did have breast cancer and she wasn't sure because she had two lots of breast implants inserted. They didn't remove the capsule from the first lot. She potentially did have BIA-ALCL as well. So, you know, Stephanie's been through quite a huge thing, like going through cancer treatment. So, you know, would have changed her mind and not gone through having breast implants, having known that those were the risks. So that wraps everything up for today's episode. I really hope that if you have listened to this and you are considering getting breast implants, that maybe some of this information might help you to change your mind. One thing you really need to know, and it's in the article that I was in Marie Claire, is you bring more to the world than your boobs. And anyone who tells you that you need them, get them out of your life. You know, I really get upset with the fact that people feel like they have to have them to feel like a whole person. I feel like investing in yourself as a person, investing in your mental and emotional health, the money that you would be spending breast implants would be better placed in that kind of thing. So yeah, it's obviously everyone's decision. I will never judge anyone for getting breast implants. Just know the risks. As Brandy from Be Real Babe podcast says, it's expensive to implant and explant. And she doesn't want anyone ever suffering with these symptoms because they can't afford to explant. So have that money saved just in case it is something that impacts you if you do get breast implants, so that you're not having to suffer like so many of us have. If you ever have any questions, honestly, feel free to reach out to me on the social media, on the Instagram account. I'm always here to chat. But yeah, I hope this has helped just one person just to potentially change their mind about getting breast implants. Take care of yourself and I will speak to you next time. This podcast shares my own experience and research. I'm not a medical or health professional. You can find me on Instagram at couldit_be_podcast.
Thank you to my incredibly talented partner, Jacob Tengdahl, for the intro and outro music. All recording, editing, and artwork is done by me.